Chogger, your path to conquering your fears is waiting for you. Friday morning, 10 o'clock.
Is it conquering it, or is it just sort of setting it aside for one tiny little moment in time and then restoring the fear?
Well, no, I think you can tell yourself, look, I really don't have a reason to be scared anymore.
Okay. Good. Yeehaw. How's Freddy doing?
It's like my son. My son, his grandma bought him a dream catcher and explained to him what a dream catcher was because, you know, he's having little nightmares every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went really good for about 5 months, wasn't happening. And then the last 2 days he's had him. And so my wife's like, well, you know what? You just got to flip your dream catcher around.
Oh.
And it'll catch the new dreams. And he's like, oh, okay. So he flipped it around, slept through the night. So you know what? It's all up in your head.
For me.
Yeah, this is supposed to be that easy. Once you go off, you'll be like, oh, look, I'm not scared of heights anymore. Boom.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Good. I might be working that day, so I'm 50-50.
Yeah. Your camera guy, I know, works together, and he's coming. So it's good. It's really good.
Well, you're a champ for charity, bud.
Yeah. So, well, no, you volunteered. That was the best part about it. I love it. I didn't even do this one.
Well,
we had struts.
More of a passing comment than really, truly volunteering for anything. I'd say. A big fat mouth.
It was awesome. It's all for charity, which is fantastic. Now, Shagar, before we get to, have you ever seen a flying squirrel?
I've seen them on TV. Yeah, like they hop from tree to tree, and they got like the little webbed wing things, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
Well,
why are you asking me about that?
Well, because I always like to come up with unique stories. Right now in Florida. And this is from National Geographic. That's why I know it's a legit story. There's thousands of squirrels are being poached from people's backyards and funneled into the nation's largest flying squirrel smuggling enterprise.
What?
True story. True story, dude. Like, I was like, geez, I didn't know there's such a thing. Like, where are they smuggling them to? What are they doing? I want to know more.
And is it illegal to just have a bunch of flying squirrels? Like, does it have to be some undercover? Like, can you have a bunch?
Well, people have them in their backyard, and now they're taking them because they're sending them, they're smuggling them into Korea.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even? What's the best? What do you use them for? What are they needed for? What are they being used for? Are they being trained? Are they being used like carrier pigeons? Like, what's happening?
Dude, I'd like
so
to know.
So many questions.
Yeah, I would really like to know.
You got some free time on your hands, eh? You're digging up the good stuff.
Dude, it just came across my timeline. I was just like, this is unreal. I got to dig into this more. So I felt like I was the only one out there, so I wanted to share with people because evidently these are very popular pets in Southeast Asia.
Interesting. Well, Strutty and I will be a couple of flying squirrels on Friday.
Yes, so that's kind of what I thought, right? Maybe you just jump off and fly like a squirrel.
Oh, boy.
If squirrels can fly, Rashog and Struds can fly from the aerial park. The New York Islanders, oh, trust me, they weren't flying last night. I don't know if that might have been the worst playoff game I've ever watched.
It's hard to – I don't normally have trouble staying awake for overtime games, but it's hard not to nod off a little bit through some of that. Hey, it was
– oh.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's not the funnest. It's not the most entertaining. But, you know, the Islanders find a way to stay alive. Jordan Eberle, big goal. Tampa needs to just do what Tampa does instead of doing what, you know, the Islanders give them. They need to take the game a little bit more rather than just taking what's given to them.
Agreed. And now I read your tweet and I laughed as far as John Cooper on Braden Point.
Yeah.
So that might have been one of the greatest attempts at a mixed message from a coach. I'll read people the quote. Here is John Cooper. Shagar asked him about Point's potential return to the lineup. I'm hoping this isn't the last time we see Pointer, and we might be able to see him as early as tomorrow night. I don't have the answer for that. I hope this isn't the last time, but we might see him tomorrow night.
Yeah, so and in fairness, I didn't ask him the question, but it was just on the Zoom call. But, so either he's going to play tomorrow night or maybe never. So maybe tomorrow, maybe never. We don't know. You expect them to be kind of ambiguous with their answers, but that one struck me as kind of funny. And, you know, like he originally said when he was asked what his status would be, he said, look, just ask me tomorrow. Like, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. So I'm not sure what's going on, if he's just being coy or if he actually isn't too sure whether or not he's going to be able to play or not. I don't really know the answer, but it's not like we can go sit and watch practice and take a look and see how he looks. So we sit tight and we wait, and that would be a big blow if Tampa doesn't get him. They need this player. He's a good player. They're not the same without him. They're already missing Stamkos. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that was kind of it was kind of funny. We hope it's not the last time we ever see him. Like, what? That's a possibility? That's the playoffs.
Yeah, very true. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And, you know, you mentioned Tampa just got to do what they got to do. I'll say one thing. The more you, and usually it happens for a lot of different players. Like, I knew Victor Hedman's good, but we might underestimate and maybe undervalue how good Victor Hedman is. He's phenomenal, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, like I said to Struds the other day, I mean, he's in the conversation, and it might be a short conversation, of the best overall defenseman in the game right now. Yeah, he does everything you need him to do. And, look, he's not super flashy the way some of the great young defensemen in the game right now are, right? He's not Kale McCarr, dangly. He's not Miro Heiskanen, you know, speedster. He's just, he's smooth skating. He's big. He's efficient. There's an economy of movement out there. He just, everything he does with great efficiency. He's just a brilliant defenseman, and in a long line of brilliant defensemen who hail where he hails from, and he's definitely one of them. So, yeah, but there's a reason why he's a Norris candidate. Just feels like just about every year now.
Yeah, well, man, the way he plays like this, you're just like, this guy could win it every year. He's like, you're right. He maybe isn't flashy, but I watched him on a few shifts. That guy, he's playing 30-some minutes a night. There was two shifts, Shogger. He was in every zone, every tense. It was amazing. He's going up in the rush. Then he's carrying the puck. Then he's all back on the back check. He's breaking up. But then he's carrying it up the ice again. You know, and then he's jumping ahead of the forwards. It was phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, and when you see him play in person too, and you can just fixate on watching him a little bit, and yeah, really, you just really appreciate what they have with him. So that's a good decor, and he's the leader of it. He's a critical player for them, and we talk about Stamkos or Point or Kucherov and these guys, and how valuable they are to Tampa's lineup and injuries and how it's affecting their lineup. But that's the one injury, you know, between here, Vasilevsky, that's a couple of injuries that they can't sustain. So he's just huge value in there when he's healthy, when he plays, and he's just a great player. You know the other thing about Hedman? He's one of the nicest players you'll ever talk to.
Yes.
He's fantastic. I remember I was at the, I can't remember if it was the combine or the actual draft. I think it was the combine his draft year. And really, really polite. He's one of those guys that you meet him once, he remembers your name. Just super, super nice guy as well. So he's definitely unique and just a fantastic player.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, there's some report came out that Leon Draisaitl might be skating in Germany. Reached out. There's a few things here we should clarify. Number one, he hasn't asked yet the orders to play games. And I was told that it hasn't been 100% ruled out for two reasons. Obviously, there's concern of injury, but there's also the other side of it. If the NHL season, which was supposed to start in December, gets delayed, and now it's maybe middle January, right? You're talking Draisaitl will have played 5 games in 10 months, right?
Yeah.
Like, there could be a benefit to possibly playing some games. So right now, he'd have to get assigned there, number one, and there hasn't been a conversation, but it hasn't ruled it out as something, you know, and I wonder if the longer this restart goes that you might see some more European players going back and playing in their home country.
Yeah, we'll see more of this because as long as the future and what next season looks like for the NHL stays kind of ambiguous, we're going to see more of this, I think, because right now like Dusty and I were chatting about this morning, I mean, what's going on behind the scenes, and I spoke to a couple of agents today, everybody's wondering what's going on and what next season's going to look like. Lots of conversations from players to agents, agents to general managers among one another. And the league, obviously, is leading the way and trying to figure this out. And I don't think that there's a real firm plan in place. And I think it's, you know, players are still kind of being told, well, you know, be ready for November-type training camp. Well, really? Like, what's the plan? I mean, I don't believe, the one thing I keep hearing is that the players are not going to go for a bubble scenario where they're having to play regular season games in any prolonged amount of time sitting in a bubble. I've heard that on a couple of fronts. So then you say, well, what's happening with the border? Like, how can teams from the U.S. hop on a plane and fly up here and play games? It's not doable, and I don't know that the situation with COVID improves to a point where that's going to change in the next couple of months. So then what? Well, now do all the Canadian teams just play each other up here, and then you get a couple of divisions down there, and teams all fly around and play each other where they can? What about fans? Like, it just feels so, so far away. And if you're a player, you're like, what am I doing here? I mean, imagine being a player that wasn't part of the restart. You know, somebody who, you know, some of the Detroit Red Wings, some of these other guys that weren't part of this.
No, I've talked to my nephew many times. Yeah, he hasn't played games since March.
Yeah, I mean, this is no good for these young guys' development. Never mind NHL prospects or NHL players, but, you know, junior players. And so everyone's just trying to find a place to safely play the game. And why would Drysdale be any different, right? So it sounds like the original ask is just about, you know, skating and training and being with this group to, you know, because the other thing is you don't want to come back until you have to. So you want to be able to get yourself sorted out where your off season is. And that sounds like what some of these guys are trying to do. And whether it actually gets to the point where he asks for or is granted permission to play games in that league, I mean, you've got multi-year, you know, tens of millions of dollars on the line in a contract, so they'll always be careful about that, and insurance will always be issues, but it may come to that if doesn't look like there's light at the end of the tunnel on an actual start date that these guys can start working off of.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us, and you know, because I know that injuries, that's the only con of going there, and when you consider, now, how rare it is to have like a real serious injury. Like, I think you might see some teams give a player's blessing and assign them there, obviously knowing that they have an out clause, right? Like right now, Maximov and Samorikov are the only two who won't come back when the season begins. And Raphael Lavoie, once his tryout's over, if he makes it, he also won't be coming back. But the rest, they all have outs in their clauses to come back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're the Oilers, you want your assets to stay sharp, right? You don't want them sitting around doing nothing. You can't expect them to all just come back to Edmonton and do, you know, 6 weeks versus, you know, worth of captain skates waiting for word from the National Hockey League. I don't think you can expect them to do that. So when guys are being proactive, looking for places to play, they probably didn't mind hearing, you know, that's something like that was the case with their guy. So now it's, you know, what about everybody else? You know, like what's Kyler Yamamoto going to do to make sure that he's ready, that he's got ice and can play, and all these guys got to get things figured out. But there's just, man, no answers from the National Hockey League, and you know, they've got a lot they're trying to get through right now. But at some point, you just feel like this has to start taking shape for even January to be realistic.
Yeah, I think once the season's over and they get to the draft and free agency, then of course much of the focus will be on that. And you know, you saw Max Pacioretty say, "Hey, I hope we don't have to do the bubble again." But his response sure made it think like that might be a possibility.
But it's going to have to go through the players again.
Yeah.
And what I hear behind the scenes is that players will be really hard pressed to go into another bubble situation for any prolonged amount of time, where you're not. But even if you do a bubble, like how are you? Like you're not. They got an 82 game schedule to try and sort out. So where are you doing a bubble for that long? Or do you go from one bubble to another? Do you go? You know, like it would make the most sense given the geopolitical situation with the border. It's like you can't have, so you get everybody into their city where they play, And then you, if there's Americans or Europeans or whoever that need to come to Canada to get their quarantine done, you do your training camps, and then the Canadian teams, like you can hop on a charter and go from Toronto to Calgary. Leafs can play the Flames. You could go to Calgary for a five-day stretch and play three games. You could go to, you could make little stops in each Canadian city, so you have almost like an entirely Canadian division. And then down south, you just do it by region, and you have those teams do that. And you, but I mean, how many games can you play that way? You know, I'm not sure. They got a lot to figure out, bud.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a lot to figure out. Now, the Islanders, was that just staving off elimination? Can they frustrate Tampa Bay for two more games? Or because you look, Tampa Bay completely, you know, controlled the majority of that game, and they just, you know, it took a guy fanning on a slap shot to create an odd man rush and win the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can they win one more game? Yeah, sure, they can win one more game. We all know the stats and the odds on being able to put three in a row together, especially against a team like Tampa, and that's unlikely. But can they win Game 6? Yeah, we've seen a number of teams down 3-1 and force a Game 7 already this year. And when there's no travel back and forth, when you take travel out of it, it's kind of really, I mean, the last change and some face-off stuff is an advantage. But one of the difficult things of coming back in a series is all the travel you got to do. And you got more games on the road than you do at home. And that's why a lot of times it's tough to come back if you're the visiting team. So it's just not a factor here. So, yeah, for sure they could do it again. I mean, John Cooper said today, I mean, he felt like all I saw my team do was play well enough to beat the Islanders, and we didn't. And, like, he feels like his team is playing well, and he feels he's happy with where his team's game was at and just kind of stick with it. Well, we heard some of that from Peter DeBoer, too, and look where they are. So a lot of this is going to depend on Braden Point, though. He's the game breaker that they need, that you just have a feeling would have been a guy that found a way to push through in a game like that.
Sagar, we will chat with you tomorrow and plan your mental state for Friday morning at 10 a.m.
All right. I don't even know. Whatever. I'm afraid to go online and look again.
Yeah, don't psych yourself out, man. Don't. Just go, you know, watch positive stuff.
Like what?
I don't know. Skydiving. It's awesome.
Thanks again for all this.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.